Thank you for joining us for today's Think Like a Leader conversation. You can access every interview in this series on our website, electri.org, or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This is a remarkable look inside the electrical construction industry, and it's yours for the listening. Welcome back to our audience to another episode of Electri International's Think Like a Leader. Today, we're here with Craig Wojciechowski. He is vice president at BESCO. If you don't know what BESCO is, it's Broadway Electric Service Corporation. So, Craig, thank you very much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it, and we're really looking forward to get your perspective on being a leader in the electrical construction industry.
Thank you for having me.
So, BESCO prides itself on its experience of more than 200 years combined with all of your people. As a leader of the company, what do you look at and say these are the key elements that contribute to BESCO's vitality and its success? Because that's a lot of people, a lot of years.
And I would go back to the number one thing that we always look at, we always, in any meeting that I'm in, we discuss is our people, is having our people not only lead and have the leadership of the industry, but also how can we make them better? How can we have those people that challenge our norms, challenge the things that we do on a day-to-day basis to say, how can we make this better? How can we continuously improve on the processes that were established years ago when we first got started, and always looking towards the new emerging markets of fabrication and how can we utilize our resources to the fullest advantage?
When you look at the professional services that you do provide, what aspects of those services have the most influence in terms of attracting new customers and, quite frankly, keeping repeat customers?
Like I said before, I think challenging the norm is really one of the things that we really hold our hat on. And it's from the healthcare sector of, okay, how can we have schedule recoveries for some of our clients, especially with supply chain issues that we're having? How can we get jobs done faster, more efficiently with our labor, and really challenging the way that we've always done business to be able to be more efficient and more productive, and really relying on our core values to be able to do the good work that we do.
The company's website describes both contracting and service to a wide variety of markets: utilities, industrial, commercial, government, municipality, and a number of others. As a company vice president, do you find it more challenging to lead in any one sector over the other? Are there any sectors that are harder to deal with?
I would say we have a pretty strong executive team that takes care of a lot of these different sectors, as we have every 2 weeks, we have an executive committee that we really use to collaborate against each sector, and really seeing what each sector is doing, and providing a guidance and collaboration between the leaders of each sector. And I think that group that we have together, that team that we have assembled, is a very tight-knit group, and we do use each other's as resources to really see what is the best way of handling any situation that each sector could bring.
I've heard you describe yourself and the company as being solution oriented, and that you're really working to improve future sustainability changes. Does working on that change from sector to sector, do you have to talk differently when you're talking solution oriented to utilities than when you're talking to government projects?
Absolutely. And that's where our executive group gets together, and we have our every few years, we put together a strategic plan for each sector, really to understand what those emerging markets look like, how to pivot the best for each sector, and understanding where it's going, whether it's EV charging stations to solar to whichever the industry is moving, whether it to be low voltage and the everything of the internet and things of that nature. We're really trying to stay on the cutting edge of those for each sectors. And as a collective team, that's how we put together our strategic plans for each sector.
Now, you talk about your people, and your company is very well known for really taking care of its people with benefits and training and cultivating talent. Is that fair to say?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So what leadership steps do you have to take to ensure that you and your management colleagues are not only attracting, but also retaining the best talent that's out there? What's your secret sauce for doing that? Because you have good people. We know that.
I would say it goes back to one of our corporate strategic pillars, as we call them. We have four pillars: invest, maximize, diversify, and innovate. And really that first pillar of investment is really the investment of our people, whether it be training on software, training on different equipment, training on different programs or workflows for our industry, and challenging the knowledge of each individual, each person in our organization, I think is really what makes us stand out and makes us different, is because we do invest in our people and we do invest in their knowledge and their training. And we challenge even from a project level, from a superintendent, find your replacement, find the person on this job that you can elevate to the next level. And that's really what I think is the core essence of BESCO, is really trying to drive knowledge and to the future of each generation. And I think that's in our core beliefs, in our DNA.
You mentioned diversity as one of the four pillars. How do you focus on the need, if you see it as a need, for a diverse workforce? What are you doing to ensure that?
I believe that looking at the industry as a whole, because a few years back, a decade ago, is really when BIM took off, and really understanding and seeing that, and then being open enough to understand, okay, not only do we have to fulfill this need, but how can we diversify our group to be able to handle this? And then not only check a box of saying that these jobs require this coordination from a technology level or a digital level, but how can we leverage this information? How can we use this for our projects to give them an added advantage against our competition? And I think just looking at this trends and now looking at where we're going with this AI and all of the emerging technologies, is what we're trying to find those digital engineers, those people that are going to help us break into this new industry, whether this new digital industry.
The company has published very, very comprehensive code of business ethics and conduct. How would you, in your own words, describe the company's commitment to integrity? Where does that fit in your thinking as a leader?
It's one of the first things that we think about in any situation that we get in, because without integrity, that's what we built our whole organization around. And it's one of the most utmost important parts of our business is making sure that not only our employees know that we have a high integrity to make sure that we're taking care of them, but our customers as well. The customers know that what we stand for is one of our core values is do what you say when you say you're going to do it. And that's just, it's ingrained in us. And it's just doing the right things, not only for our customers, but also for our vendors, and making sure that we're all on the equal plane field, and that our integrity is not going to be shaken for any reason whatsoever.
It's one thing to talk about integrity and the things you're going to do both for your workforce and for your customers, but your company has done a really detailed spelling out of everything that is expected of your workforce and your customer, and everything that you're going to do for them, whether the them is your customer or your workforce. How do they react to that? Are customers happy to have that much detail in writing from your company? Do they comment on that?
Yeah, our customers and our employees have all reacted very positive to this code of business code of ethics, and I believe that it really makes us stand out a little bit more, because they know, our customers know what we're getting, and it's for us, it's a marketing for a marketing point for new customers is saying, hey, we have a strong business ethics, and we really are truthful when we say our integrity is the most important. And it's definitely been a great selling point for new customers for us. And it's been a positive reaction from our employees, and our employees appreciate that what we stand on and our word is that they can take to the bank with them.
How long ago was this actually articulated and put out to the public? Is it relatively new?
It's been around. Our code of business ethics has always been around, but just recently we've added it to the document to okay. our website and to the general population.
Another point of pride for BESCO is its involvement with the communities in which it works. How do you select the organizations that are going to get BESCO's attention and support from year to year?
One of the things that we look at mostly with some of our partners is their mission statements and the charitable donations of their mission being aligned with our missions. And we have been in each geographical location. We have been around for a while, and there's a lot of good partners that we've been with from day one. And it's just the alignment of our missions and what we want to accomplish for the community, because the community is the most important part of us. It gives us our people, and as well as gives us the resources to do great work.
Do you give your employees a role in helping to select or at least recommend organizations that they see as being important and worthy of BESCO's support?
Absolutely. Our people are help drive it. We have several of our employees are on the committees and on the chairs of the set for the one of the big ones here in town is Emerald Youth, that we provide leadership and support to. And it's a great partnership, and our employees are definitely one of the first things we think about when we're looking at what charitable organizations that we want to.
When you're working with a group such as the Boys and Girls Clubs, do you see that as an opportunity to begin to give them an inkling of what opportunities there would be for them in the electrical construction world? Do you try to marry what you're doing with what the future might be for those people, whether they're kids or adults?
Absolutely. We like to not only support, but also in certain scenarios, be there to give the guidance, give the mentorship to saying, hey, there are different career paths for the youth to go through. And we really we try to be the mentors and really help those organizations and give them the information that the traits can offer to some of the youth in our communities.
Some of the people whom we interview for Think Like a Leader talk a lot and think a lot about workforce shortages. Is your company and your geographic area experiencing that or not?
Yeah, I believe that's a nationwide issue, that we're always searching for more resources, more workforce, and growing them and using the different classifications within the IBEW to really be able to leverage some of the work that we do, especially here in town, and as well as for destination projects. And we are very adamant, very part of the JATC here in town, and as well as on committees. So looking at what can we do to increase our workforce of helping organize in electricians and really trying to be a part of the bigger picture for our industry.
Now, you serve as the NECA East Tennessee chapter representative to the Electric Council of Electric International. Do you see a difference in serving as the chapter rep to Electri from if you were serving as the company representative? Do you have to approach it? Do you think differently?
Yeah, and it's a privilege to be. Was to be named the East Tennessee chapter representative, because I look at it as I'm representing not only one company, I'm representing the 41 companies that are a part of the East Tennessee chapter, and I take that as a challenge for me to bring back the education and the research that Lectury is doing to help not only the at BESCO where I work, but all the surrounding companies within the East Tennessee chapter. So it is definitely an honor and a privilege to be able to serve on the council for all the companies within this chapter.
What do you do? What can you do to lead your chapter members to want to do more with Lectury and want to take more advantage of its programs and initiatives? Are they interested?
Yes, they definitely are. And we have our chapter has a newsletter that we have integrated a section for Lectury for understanding what work they're doing, what new educational information and research papers that are coming out, the great programs that Lectury has developed. We have them on the website. We have them as part of our monthly meetings that Chase has with the groups. We have this information available for them, and it's just talking to the other contractors within the chapter and getting them involved and understanding what research they want to see, so we can take that back to Josh Bone with Lectury to be able to start looking at those ideas and those research principles.
Many times when I'm talking with either a contractor or someone who's a manufacturer or distributor, I ask them a question about what they bring to the Lectury Council. And I am asking you that same question, but a little bit differently, because you also have the opportunity to bring the perspective of other members of your chapter to the Lectury Council. How do you blend them? How do you come up with a cohesive message that says, this is what East Tennessee believes and what we need?
I believe that is a huge part of what I hope to bring to Lectury is really the voice of the, like I said, the 41 contractors that represent the East Tennessee chapter, as well as a different viewpoint from a technology standpoint, which where my background has a lot of is from a prefabrication and technology based upbringing, I guess you could say, as well as really understanding how our region reacts and what research and development we need for this region. So I think that just a different perspective is what I bring to Lectury's council.
Are there particular areas of research and education that you think Lectury needs to pay close attention to over the next 3 to 5 years? Or do you want them to just keep doing what they're doing? Are there whole new things that you'd say, wait a minute, guys, we've got to pay attention to what?
I would say that definitely the direction that they were going right now is really they're spot on and on their research and development, whether it be on material management, KPIs, the whole nine yards, the low voltage, everything that they are investing in right now, I think is really going to be the emerging markets in the future, and it's really going to be what drives our industry to the next generation.
You are both a leader and mentor for your company. And in terms of Lectury International, you are a leader and a mentor for your colleagues, your fellow contractors, members of your chapter. And it's both an opportunity and a responsibility. We get that. What advice do you consistently offer your team members and project workforce so that they are developing themselves as leaders?
I would say the things that I probably preach the most would be communicate, collaborate, and plan. Those are, to me, are from anything that I could give advice to is always communicate with your teams, collaborate within your organizations to the other departments, whether it be the accounting side, whether it be the engineering side, the prefabrication shop side, really collaborate and come up with a good work plan. And really work the plan, work the job. And those are from my perspective are the three most talked about things I talk about on a daily basis.
When you think about your own career, is there any particular advice that you received that really helped shape the way you approach being a leader today? Something that really stuck with you?
So there's a couple quotes, I guess you could say, that I repeat, that I was taught as I was coming up through BESCO. One of them is that we almost say all the time is, if you have a problem and you don't tell anybody, it is your problem. But if you tell everybody that you know about the problem you have, now it's everybody's problem. And as collectively as a group, we can collaborate and figure out how to solve your problem. And I think that's really what is in the essence of a lecture is the council will raise, somebody in the council will raise their hand and say, hey, we have this issue. And now the whole collective group bands together to really try to solve the answers to that. To that issue or that problem, and I would say the last advice that I was given was a goal without a plan is a wish. So really being able to plan out, having a plan for any goals that you'd have, and I think that those are the things that ring true.
Craig, as we bring the interview to a close, is there anything I have not asked you about that you want to make sure you have the opportunity to share with our audience?
I would say that just continue to support the field, support your workforce, support your projects to a T, and collaborate, communicate, and plan.
Thank you so much. And thank you to our audience for joining us today for another episode of Think Like a Leader. If you like this interview, and I'm sure you will, please go to the Electri website at electri.org, and you can sit back and listen to more than 50 of Craig's colleagues. All have opinions, all have advice. The one thing they all have in common is that every one of them does think like a leader. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for joining us for today's Think Like a Leader conversation. You can access every interview in this series on our website, electri.org, or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This is a remarkable look inside the electrical construction industry, and it's yours for the listening.